Isaiah chapter 40. Let's get our text verse and then move a little further today. Verse number 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them. And they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Then today, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? I say he fainteth not. Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Let the church say, amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. I pray as your vessel today that you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people and hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray, God, that you would take the Bible as you have time and time again, serve it on the table of the hearts of every one of us today that we might eat, be filled, and strengthened. We know that the devil is busy, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So I pray that you will continue to help us, keep him from interfering in the service today. Use the Bible as you have time and time again. And if anyone in the building doesn't know Christ as Savior, might this be the day that that person gets saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We've tried our best the last several weeks to challenge the people of God about the matter of focus. Focus. See, if your focus is off, everything's off. Some people think that they're seeing bad things in their life, and sometimes it's not that they're seeing bad things in their lives, it's that they're looking at the wrong stuff. And Isaiah is challenging the people of God about their focus. You see, if you look at God through your problems, they're going to seem big. But if you look at your problems through God, your problems will seem small because God will seem so big. And I hate the fact that what we're going through right now as a country and as a world has resulted in the people of God seemingly bringing God to being small. By the way, there's nothing anybody could ever do to make God small. But shame on us, even though he's just as big as he's always been, to be looking at him like somehow he shrunk. Listen to me. God is just as big as he's always been. Amen. Listen, God was big before we got here. God has always been big. Amen. And we should not tell God how big our problems are. We should tell our problems how big our God is. Somebody say amen. And so Isaiah is challenging the people of God about what they had seemed to have forgotten. And he makes the statement, hast thou not seen, hast thou not heard? We've encapsulated that statement in the question. Oh, you didn't know? And I'm talking to every believer this morning. You didn't know?
Have you forgotten what God has done? Have you forgotten who God is? By the way, what God does is a result of who God is. Amen. He couldn't do what he does if he wasn't who he is. Amen. And I'm glad that he said to Moses, I am that I am. You say, well, how does that help me? I'll tell you why. Because in every age, at every moment, he is the great I am. I don't know about you. When I wake up tomorrow, I don't need God to be the was. I need God to be the am. Amen. I need God right now, not just next week, not just next year. I need God right now. The songwriter said, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. How many of you can admit we need God now? By the way, we needed him before this pandemic came. We needed him when somebody else was in the White House. We needed him when things were well. You need him for your next breath. Don't you think you need him just because things are bad? You need him every single moment. In him we live, we breathe, and we have our being. You didn't know he has an exalted position. He sits high, and by the way, all the way up high. You didn't know last week that he has exclusive power. You cannot compare anybody to God. His character stands alone. His creation, he did by himself. By the way, I don't care what any smart person tells you. We did not get here as a result of some evolution. We are not the result of some tadpole that turned into some monkey, that turned into some human being. And some people say, well, I don't understand how monkeys and human beings seem to act so much alike. First of all, that's not necessarily true. And if it is, that's a problem. But anyway, if you do see some similarities, instead of thinking we came from monkeys, how about thinking that monkeys and us came from the same person? And the reason why monkeys are so intelligent is because they were made by God. And the reason why we are so intelligent is because we were made by God. But we got something they don't have. We've got a soul, and our soul will never die. The Bible says God formed man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Watch this now. Body, soul, and spirit. Your body is your flesh. Your spirit is your vitality. Your soul is your personality, your mind, your motion, and your will. Aren't you glad that God gave us a soul, that we're not just inanimate creatures? Aren't you glad that we have personality, that we have a mind? Aren't you glad that we have a somebody that we are? And by the way, God made every single one of us as one of a kind. And so Isaiah says, when you think about the power of God, think about his creation. Think about the stars you can't count, and God can count them. Think about the stars you can't even discover, and God knows every one of them. Think about them that you can't even get into your brain to wrap your head around, and yet God has called each one by name. Aren't you glad that creation didn't just get started by God, but it's maintained by God? Aren't you glad that with all the things we got to do, that we don't have to keep the sun going and the moon going and the stars going? Aren't you glad that God has created a world, by the way, that functions because it's intelligently designed by an intelligent designer? Creation speaks of God. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Often you're asked the question, how can a person who's never read the Bible know that there's a God? Romans chapter 1 says his personality and his power are clearly seen through creation. Now, some people run too far with it and start worshiping the creation instead of the creator. But my friend, is mind-boggling as creation be, is the creator is even more mind-boggling. Because if anything he made makes you say, wow, then the maker should make you say, wow, what a mighty God we serve. An exalted position. Somebody say amen. An exclusive power. Say amen one more time. This morning, his eternal personality. Would somebody say amen to that? Eternal personality. Now look at verse number 27. I left my Cowboys cup at home. Now, if we could just match that and get the Sim Fuqua family to leave Zev at home, we'd be doing good with that. I don't know how you just as loud with a mask on as you were without one on, but I think a muzzle might be better. But anyway, let the church. verse 27. I'll have that cup tonight's service, all right? Why sayest thou? Turn to the person beside you and say, why sayest thou? Now listen, what God is going to talk about his eternal personality through the person of Isaiah. But here's what he's going to show us, that when we stop looking at God and who he is, we begin to say crazy things. Did anybody hear me? See, you talk crazy when you get your mind off of God. I say you post crazy when you get your mind off of God. You tweet crazy when you get your mind off of God. You Snapchat crazy when you get your mind off of God. You text crazy when you get your mind off of God. What's going on with Christian folk that are talking crazy? They don't know who God is. I want you to notice some foolish professions that happen when we forget who God is and his eternal personality. I call these foolish professions, write this down, some senseless assertions. Some senseless assertions. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, or speakest, O Israel? Look at the senseless assertion. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed from the Lord. Here's the senseless assertion that something is actually hid from God. Now watch this now. Let me tell you two things that you cannot hide from God, even though you may try to think they're hidden or say they're hidden. Number one, you cannot hide your specific adversity. It may seem like God can't see what you're going through. Here's what Isaiah said. Why sayest thou that God cannot see what you're going through? Aren't you glad that every one of us with our own set of problems can rest assured that God knows what we're going through? Somebody say amen. We act like he doesn't know. We act like our problems are too small and too insignificant in the big scheme of things, like we're not important enough. We live in a world today that measures people on how much they make, on what color they are, on what car they drive, on what kind of job they have, on what status they've attained, on what education they amass, on what assets that they are responsible for. We live in a world today that ranks people on a scale that's not fair. Some of it is a scale that some people aren't even capable of attaining to. But I want to tell you something this morning. You may be the smallest person on your job. You may be on the lowest rung of the ladder. You may be in a spot where nobody can see you. You may be in a trial that nobody knows about. You may be suffering so bad you don't even want to tell anybody. But I will tell you, your adversity is not hid from God. He knows the tears that you cry, the burdens that you bear, the questions that you ask, the pains that you feel, the medicines that you take, the sickness in your body, the hurt that someone's done to you, the abuse that you have faced. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows what the doctors cannot diagnose, what the psychiatrist cannot figure out, what the psychologist cannot give you some answer for. He knows what medicine cannot fix, what surgery cannot take out. He knows what government cannot legislate, what money cannot buy, what Walmart cannot sell, what eBay cannot list, what Amazon Prime cannot deliver. I'm telling you, he knows your specific adversity. Why sayest thou, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment God hath not known? He not only knows your specific adversity, but watch this now, he also knows your sinful acts. You cannot hide your problems from God, but you cannot hide your perversion from God. He knows them words you call French that ain't no French. He knows them places you go that nobody was. He knows them things you post that nobody sees. He knows them sites you visit that you delete from your history. He knows what you drink, what you smoke, where you go, where you wear. You can drive two towns past here and 100 miles past here so nobody from the church will run into you. But I'm here to tell you, God was there before you went there. He saw what you did. He saw what you said. He knows what your parents never catch, what your husband doesn't know, what your wife hadn't found out about, what the pastor would be embarrassed that you do. Don't be trying to hide it from me. Don't be worried about me finding out. Don't be telling somebody else, don't tell pastor. God already knows. Why sayest thou? Why sayest thou? You're coming forth with some foolish professions. And I'll tell you why these foolish professions are highlighted here. Because of God's, watch this now, faithful presence. Aren't you glad his presence is faithful? Now look at verse number 27. Why sayest thou? Why are you saying that foolishness? Here's number 28. Hast thou not known? I'll tell you why it's foolish. Hast thou not heard? I'll tell you why it's foolish. The everlasting God. Somebody say amen that he's everlasting. That's Elohim, the Lord. That's Jehovah. the creator of the ends of the earth. What do you mean the ends of the earth? I mean here, there, and everywhere in between. As far as the east is from the west, if you can see it, he made it. Somebody say amen. Now watch this now. Here's what I like about God. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Let me tell you something about God and his faithful presence. Here's what I got written down, and you write it down too. He's a God of timeless endurance. Anybody heard that? Timeless endurance. What do you mean? He's not going to faint. What do you mean? He's not going to quit. What do you mean? He's not going to run out of gas. What do you mean? Heaven is never going to go bankrupt. Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't need a majority vote to create a stimulus package? Aren't you glad that he owns the cattle of a thousand hills? I'm saying he is a God of timeless endurance, but he is also a God of tireless existence. It says he fainteth not, but let me tell you how Isaiah expounds upon that. Neither is he weary. Now, we can pride ourselves if we want to, the cream of the crop in the building, and say, I'm not a quitter. I don't believe in quitting. And I'd like to characterize myself as being someone that doesn't believe in quitting. But here's the thing about us. Even if we don't quit, we can't say the next part. We can't say we're not weary. Now watch this now. Here's what we say. I'm tired, but I'm not going to quit. I've been running for Jesus for a long time, but I ain't tired. You know, here we say, we're not going to quit. But I say, let me tell you something about God. Not only does he not faint, he don't even get tired. He doesn't get weary. I want to tell you something. When you pray, don't pray apologizing. When you come back to God, don't go, well, God, here I come again. I know you're tired of hearing me. He can't be tired of something because he's not tired at all. He doesn't get, this helps me. Right now, listen to me. I'm tired of this pandemic. I'm tired of what we've got to face every day. I'm tired of not feeling well. But I tell you what keeps me going. When I'm tired, he's not tired. When I'm weary, he's not weary. When I'm sleepy, he's not sleepy. Oh, some little zealot that's a critic right now wants to say, well, why did Jesus go to sleep? Jesus went to sleep because he was human. He was a man. Amen. The man part went to sleep, but hang on a little bit. The God part got up and calmed the raging storm. He's the only one that's been 100% man and 100% God at the same time. Aren't you glad? And by the way, somebody said, could Jesus be tempted? He could not be tempted with sin, but his humanity was tempted. But his deity was never tempted, because you cannot draw something to something else unless both of them have the same thing in them. And sin cannot draw God, and God cannot draw sin, because God doesn't have no sin. Aren't you glad that God is a God of faithful presence? He's a God that will handle our foolish professions. And then lastly, and I'm going to quit, he is a God of a fathomless perception. Make a little noise right about now. A fathomless perception. This is the last phrase in this verse. Let's read it together, verse 28. You want to help me read? That was a rhetorical question. Read together. Last phrase in 28. Read it. There is no searching of his understanding. Read it again. Listen to yourself read it and then respond to what you just heard yourself read. One more time. Ready? Read again. There is no searching of his understanding. What you think about that? Fathomless perception. I said fathomless perception. In other words, pointless attempts to try to understand him. I said pointless attempts to try to understand him. You say, why do we read our Bible? To understand God? No. You read your Bible to get to know God. You ain't gonna ever understand him, because in that same Bible you say you're reading to understand him, it already tells you his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. But Pastor, I just don't understand why I can't understand God. I'm trying to tell you, you're never going to understand God. His mind's too big. His wisdom is too, listen to him, his pointless attempts and his profound attributes. There is no searching of his understanding. Here's what he's saying. Get the smartest guy. Get the deepest computer. Get your little Siri out and ask Siri to understand God. Siri's going to say, I don't answer those kind of questions. No smartphone can figure out a wise God. Come on now. Here's the problem. That's what religion has done. Religion's trying to understand God. We're trying to put God in a box. We're trying to explain God. And by the way, since he can't be understood, he should not be questioned. We need to quit asking questions to God like God has to answer us. Well, God, why don't I have this by now? And why hasn't this changed by now? And when are you going to fix this? Listen to me. Don't be questioning God. You ask God for things, but don't ask God to answer you like he owes you. There is no searching of his understanding. We've got to get this together, folks. We are in a time like we've never experienced before, and everybody in the world is trying to figure it out. I'm not against trying to figure out how to get a vaccination. I'm not against trying to figure out how to stay safe. If you don't, listen, anybody in his right mind ought to do what you can to stay safe. But let's resolve to have faith in a God that's got this thing figured out. He's got this thing solved. Somebody say, well, if he does, why won't he tell us? He's trying to teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. He's trying to get our attention. And let me tell you something. Some of us are praying more now than we ever did 8 months ago. We're walking with God now than we ever did 8 months ago. I wish things were better. I wish I had it this way. I wish things were back the way it was. When you in cruise control, not checking on God, acting like you had it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade, thank God you get up in the morning and get down on your knees. Thank God that you're asking God like you never asked him before. Thank God that you're trusting in him with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. That verse was there before the pandemic, and it's going to be there afterwards. God is working us to try to get our attention back on him. And Isaiah was looking at a group of people, and by the way, stop acting like we are the first generation of people that have had to go through hard times. Every age of Christianity has had to battle adversity. And in every single occurrence, one narrative remains the same. God has been faithful. He's been faithful. And he knows what we're going through. I want to share testimony. I was up early one day this week. Anybody like me, you can't keep track of what day it is? Sunday is the only day that resets the clock. Huh? We all know we get up in here, it's Sunday. And then, and if we're lucky, we'll know the next day is Monday. I was reading in my Bible this week, and I was just kind of, you know, saying to myself, for me, when I stop to think about what's happening, I almost don't believe it's real. It's hard for me to wrap my head around not even being healthy. I don't. This is weird for me. So sometimes I wake up and go, oh, that was a dream. Then I start walking and I say, no, it ain't. So I was in the bed, sitting up, reading, and thinking about the Lord. And I just read my Bible, and I'd spent time reading, you know what my regimen is. I read 3 Old Testament chapters, 3 New Testament chapters, 1 proverb, and 5 Psalms every morning. And so I finished reading, and I thought, like it's happened a lot of months, you know, one of my preacher friends called me months back, and I did not call him back. By the way, if you've called me and I've not called you back, I promise you, I forgot. Please forgive me. And so I just, if I don't do it right away, I don't typically remember it. So I thought, well, it's early in the morning, I'm not going to call him. But I know that he and his family travel now, and he preaches and they sing. And so I'll just Google him, since I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't seen a lot of friends in a while. So I'll just look him up and see what, if he's been preaching somewhere recently, and I can at least see him and hear his family sing. So I Googled. His name is Tim Hicks. He was in Walkertown, North Carolina for years, and we used to go to youth conferences, and he's out preaching now, and he and his family sing. So I Googled Tim Hicks' family, and a service popped up, and it was back in October of last year. And there were several that popped up, and I just clicked on one. And so I clicked on it, and I thought, Lord, here I am sitting in this bed feeling like an old man, and I'm going to look for one of my friends because we can't see each other like we used to, so you got to find it online. So I clicked on it, and his family started singing. And after a while, when they were singing in a service in October, they started huddling up with each other about what song they're going to sing next. And then his wife came up, and his daughter and his son-in-law was at the piano and said they were getting ready to sing, and he started introducing the song. And he said, we were sitting somewhere preaching one time, and he said, Brother Kenny Baldwin was preaching. He said, y'all know Kenny Baldwin? And he said, Kenny Baldwin was preaching a message, and in the middle of the message, he said, God can and he will. And he said, I looked over at my son-in-law and said, you know, that'd be a good song. He said, my son-in-law wrote a song on that title, and that's the song they're going to sing right now. And I thought to myself, here I am sitting in the bed looking for a reason to complain. Click on a friend that I haven't seen in a while. And out of all of the messages that I could have clicked on in a morning, at 7-something in the morning, I clicked on a date in October in Durham, North Carolina, months ago, and out of all of the 100 songs that they sing, they picked that song. He mentioned my name that morning, and then he said this statement to the crowd after he introduced the song. He said, Kenny's my friend. I thought, you woke me up this morning, had me click on something, and Google can take you anywhere, can't it? Some place you don't want to be. And you had me click on this song, this link this morning to see this man singing this song and mention my name and say to me, you're my friend, just as God's way to let me know, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. And beloved, God will find you in the middle of your trial and let you know in a way that's dumbed down enough for you and I to know it, that even though he's not always on our minds, we are always on his mind. I came to ask you this morning about all that stuff I just said. Oh, you didn't know. Father, thank you for your word. Use it to help us and strengthen us to be what we ought to be for your glory. We love you and thank you for being God. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. God bless you all over the building. Put your hands down. Pastor, I needed to be reminded that God has an eternal personality and he knows everything and he's not tired and he's not weary. I needed that this morning. Would you raise your hand all over the building? Come home. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Now, you got to be able to remind yourself of that. You listening? You can't wait till you come to church to do that, to get reminded. You got to be able to, it's in your Bible. You got to be able to tell yourself who God is and therefore what God does. I wonder if you say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Make sure I'm not missing anybody. Because you know what? We may be in a pandemic, but that ain't going to stop you from getting saved if you need to get saved. And we don't want you to think that we want you to come here and get an hour's worth of something, but you can't get Jesus Christ. I see your hand back there, and someone will be glad to help you, okay, when the service is over, and explain how you can know you're going to heaven. All right? God bless you. God bless you. We'll make sure one of our men gets to you. Father, would you take control of our lives as you already have? But would you take control of the rest of our day? Help us to keep our eyes on you, not get distracted. We love you, and we thank you so much for being God. In Jesus' name.